Christ makes the maximum life possible. In John chapter 10 and verse number 10, Jesus said that He came that they, speaking of His sheep, may have life and have it abundantly. In recent studies, we have discovered what we are to do while living on the earth, the proper source for our values, the unique form and function God has given to each person, the commitment to Christ that is needed by all believers, and then the vision or mission, vision and goals that should help us reach our desired eternal destination. As a result of this, and yet there are many more to come, we have to pause and ask the question, how will we have time to focus on all these improvements? Well, first of all, I would want you to recognize that Brother Evan does an amazing job in making these things available for us on YouTube and Facebook. And so really there is an archive of these lessons and all the lessons that we have done. So you can go back and review these from time to time. You can go back and study them again. You can go back and look for more areas or more things that would apply in your life for you to work on. Secondly, I would want us to recognize that stewardship is a biblical teaching. Our time is our life. How we spend our time is how we are spending our life. In some way, we are going to spend every minute that we are given to live. That means we must maximize our time to maximize our living. It also means we must be intentional with our time. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16 was the requested reading for this lesson. Brother Mitch Snyder did an amazing job in reading it, but I want us to consider a few of the terms in that reading closely. He says, therefore be careful. In other words, look carefully. Look with attention to how you walk. That's how you live, how you behave. In Ephesians 5 verse 2, Paul brought up living in or walking in love. Not as unwise or foolish men, but as wise or skilled. Making the most of your time, because the days are evil. The New American Standard Bible has making the most of your time. The New King James Version says redeeming the time. The English Standard Version says making the best use of the time. And the NIV says making the most of every opportunity. The Greek phrase shows up again in Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 5, where the Bible says, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. In other words, we are to live as wise people. We are to apply the wisdom gained from a study of God's Word to the practical matters of living and our conduct. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. We must give constant care to walking within the teachings of God's Word. The understanding of that Greek participle that's variously translated in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16, means to buy up for oneself. To buy up for oneself. The understanding contextually means to be wise in the use of every opportunity. And then we're told why. Because the days are evil. Evil abounds. Opportunities to do good are aplenty. Time is ample. All we can do with time is use it. God provides it, and we are to use it. We must pay close attention then to how we use our time. William Boyd, otherwise known as Bill Watterson II, he's the author of the comic strip Calvin and Hobbes. In one of those particular cartoon drawings, Calvin turned to Hobbes and said, "God put me on earth to accomplish certain things. Right now, I'm so far behind, I'll never die." Do we ever feel that way? If we do, it may be a symptom of mismanaged time. One symptom of mismanaged time is messiness. Organization requires investing just a little time, but it pays off huge dividends throughout our lives. Do our lives show that we are organized people? How do we take care of our homes, our yards, our vehicles? Are we able to keep up with things, or are we constantly losing them because of disorganization? Is the way we are keeping up with these things reminiscent of our spiritual lives and how they are organized, or how they are kept up? When a job is complete, what do we do with all the tools? My dad would say, clean up after yourself. And there's no telling how many times he told other people, if you put things back where you got them from, they'd be there the next time you needed them. Usually this would come because somebody would come to Dad looking for something that belonged to them. But I remember on several occasions individuals at least being wise enough to bring things to my father and ask him to keep up with them so they would not lose them. It's something he told others, and thankfully I learned, so I don't recall him having to tell me. There is always much to do, but being busy can be a dangerous thing. Disorganization causes more trouble than the momentary pleasure of laziness is worth. Another symptom of mismanaged time is forgotten appointments, messages, or deadlines. These things occasionally happen even to the most organized of people. But for the disorganized, every day is filled with broken commitments, lame excuses, and seared conscience toward caring about the missed responsibilities. Clint Baggett, a former high school principal of mine, would say, if you can't be on time, be early. His point was very simple. If you can't manage to be organized, if you can't manage to be responsible on time, see to it that you do it ahead of time so you will not be late. We should commit to giving God our best. Lack of productivity is a symptom of mismanaged time. Do we find ourselves spinning our wheels, trying to figure out where we're to go, what's to happen next? Do we find ourselves doing small, boring, insignificant tasks at the end of the day so we can feel like we got something accomplished? A compelling goal, as we discussed last week, will bless us with focus and drive. We ought to keep an eye open for the next time or the next opportunity to take a step toward reaching a goal. Credit to whom credit is due. We cannot finish what we do not start. It's much easier to get started with our day and get started towards our goals, our vision, our mission when we know what needs to be done. The better we manage our time in these areas, the more productive we will become. Poor or low self-esteem can be a symptom of mismanaged time. Disorganized people tend to feel poorly about their work. Problems with self-esteem of this nature can be both a cause and effect, and such that they become a very vicious cycle that is repeated over and over again. Charlie Batch is quoted as saying, "Proper preparation prevents poor performance." Proper preparation may be what's needed for you to feel better about your work. I'll throw in an extra for free. Do it right, do it light, do it wrong, do it long. If you'll do things right the first time, you'll find that you are satisfied with your work. And if you do it right the first time, you may find you don't have to do it again. A symptom of mismanaged time is a poor quality of personal relationships. Building significant relationships requires a lot of time. How often are we engaged in significant conversation? You see, we are people, we are creatures that need significant conversations the way we need hugs, gifts, time, acts of service, and affirmation. That's the five love languages. But we need significant conversation as well. From an unknown author comes a weak but somewhat humorous pun that the best vitamin for making friends is B1. Messiness, forgotten appointments, messages, and deadlines, lack of productivity, poor or low self-esteem, or a poor quality of personal relationships can be symptoms of mismanaged time. Do any of these sound familiar to you? I would certainly hope that not all of them do. But if we are experiencing these symptoms, we need to seek help. We need to seek help because these things are affecting our maximum life. There are many more symptoms of mismanaged time, but one particularly important: a lack of intimacy with God. If you're suffering from the symptoms already mentioned, you may find that it is affecting your relationship with God. Disorganized Christians want to feel close to God, but seldom do. They already know that they need more Bible study and prayer. They see that they are not doing enough of the right disciplines for their relationship with God, but deep down inside, they know they simply will not do the necessary things for a better relationship with God. If this sounds like you, please seek help. We must invest time in our relationship with God, because James 4 verse 8 instructs, "Draw near to God and He will draw near to you." Here are seven spiritual laws for good stewardship of time. Take control of your time. Parkinson's law is one of the most renowned rules of time management. It says work expands so as to fill the time available for its completion. If we give ourselves a day to complete a task, most can be done within a day or less. If we give ourselves a week to complete the same task to be done in a day, it'll take the entire week to complete it. In other words, time must be budgeted. As worded in the English Standard Version, David wrote in Psalm 90, verse 12, "Teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom." In other words, if we knew just how short our lives would be, we'd spend our days seeking God's wisdom. The reality is, one day we will give an account before God for how we spent our time. And so we need to pay attention to God's ways each day and appreciate the life He has given to us and the time and the opportunities He has afforded us. Have you ever noticed how we give priority to scheduled events, if we structure our whole day around important appointments, maybe taking off the entire morning for an early afternoon appointment, shows that we're structuring our schedule around the important appointments. If we do that, we must consider, do we schedule our days around important goals that will help us glorify God? Scheduled time for what is most valuable. Take control of your time and start with God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 31, the Bible reads, "Whether then you eat or you drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." In Luke 6 verse 38, it instructs us, "Give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over." This principle is not merely about money. We will never outgive God in anything. So when we give God our time, He will never shortchange us. When we give God what we have, He will give us the abundant spiritual blessings. And if we choose to invest our earthly time in eternal matters, God will bless us all the more. Good budgeting of time will reveal extra time by a more efficient use of our time. A third spiritual law concerning good stewardship of time is to plan your day around your goals. Do not put things on a to-do list just to stay busy. Rather, live a purpose-driven life. Our daily activities should reflect the goals that we have. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 asks, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win." Paul followed this teaching with his statement in verse 26, "Therefore I run in such a way as not without aim." The English Standard Bible says, "So I do not run aimlessly." Then he penned, "I do not box as one beating the air." From this comes the question of what is the aim for our day? What is the aim for today? What are we trying to accomplish in life today? Are we setting out to win? How do we then take advantage of the opportunities of each day? Plan the day around the goals we have in life. Spiritual law number four is to focus on the important over the urgent. Yes, I understand that the urgent can oftentimes be important, but sometimes things can wait. Some things can even be omitted. And unfortunately, most people live their days as filled with the urgent but not important matters that are deceptive. They lead us to believe that we're living life and that we are doing what we are supposed to be doing. Paul was not necessarily talking about time. In fact, he wasn't in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 23. But the principle is still true. There he said, "All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable." Important matters should be done before not important matters are considered. When we determine what is important, then we are to consider what is urgent versus what is not urgent. Dwight D. Eisenhower said, "What is urgent is seldom important, and what is important is seldom urgent." To say yes to one thing is to say no to one or several other things. If we're not clear on what our priorities in life are, we'll spend our whole day doing only good things. Do not ignore important matters. Your salvation is the most important and most urgent matter. Therefore, spiritual disciplines are important and urgent. Spiritual law number 5, spend time on your strengths. Maximum life is largely predicated or founded on doing more of what God has shaped us to do. We should spend more time doing the things we are good at so we do not find ourselves wasting time on things we're not good at. For we are His workmanship, that's God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Are we doing what we have been created by God to do? Spiritual law number 6, budget time in advance. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 5 coaches, the plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes to poverty. If we do everything in haste, we're going to have problems. We should be budgeting our time then for spiritual disciplines, budgeting time for prayer and study, for fellowship, even for worship and ministry or service opportunities. Think about it. How much advance notice does secular work require before the changing of a schedule? How much advance notice should we require before altering spiritual disciplines for less important matters? Family time and relationships must be budgeted some of our time. Work and even recreation time, as well as free time, should be budgeted, because unscheduled free time can quickly take over an entire schedule. We should be asking, when can I best make time for each undertaking or assignment that we take on? When can I best make time to focus on these things? Budget time in advance in order to take control of your time rather than allowing time to control you. Spiritual rule number 7, busier does not mean better. Being busy can keep us out of some trouble, but it may cause more significant problems in other areas. Our behavior should never be determined by our schedule. In Exodus chapter 18, Moses was overworked and overstressed in overseeing the personal matters of the Israelites. Exodus chapter 18, verse 13. Moses' father-in-law makes a visit, and he tells Moses, "You will surely wear out both yourself and these people who are with you, for the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone." Exodus 18, verse 18. Jethro taught Moses to delegate because, as we find in verses 23 through 24, good time management lends itself to more effective activity, more involvement, more intentional acts of kindness, and more endurance. And that goes for everyone involved. Our schedules should be manageable. Our schedules should be productive. Our schedules should be satisfying. And if they're not, we need to consider whether it's due to disorganization or the mismanagement of time. I want you to listen very closely. We all have just enough time to do God's will. No matter how long or how short our life will be, we have just enough time to do God's will. But we must be intentional about the use of our time, being good managers and stewards who build our schedule around the goals, the vision, and the mission we have in life. We see this in our Lord. Our Lord knew His purpose on earth was to glorify and please God. He knew His values came from God and from His Word and not from culture that often deceives us concerning our time. Our Lord understood the form and the function that God gave Him. Thus He lived in obedience to it. Our Lord was committed to doing God's will, and He used goals to help Him reach His vision and His mission. Thus, our Lord was intentional with His time. There was not a city or village. There was not a person He visited. There was not a house He went into. It was not intentionally decided. The Lord Jesus Christ also made an intentional decision that He wants to save everyone. Philippians 3, verse 20. And everyone to have the abundant life. John 10 and verse 10. So, brothers and sisters, time is of the essence for us to fulfill our call to godly living. Knowing the time, our salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. Romans 13, verse 11. To maximize our time and to maximize the life Jesus wants us to have, we must hear Him. We must believe in Him. We must repent of our sins, confess belief in Him, confessing His name, being baptized into Him, and living faithfully to Him. What a wonderful opportunity it has been to spend time studying God's Word and what God has to say about time management. We must be wise. We must be intentional about the use of time. And now, those who are hearers of the Word have been given a golden opportunity. Be intentional with the use of this time and this opportunity to draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come.